Welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio, where we're heading to the nation's capital of the National Farmers Union. President is North Dakota's Roger Johnson. Hello, Roger.
Good to be with you, Mick.
2019 has just been a year of crazy challenges.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's everywhere. I mean, I know in that part of the country, lots and lots of challenges, you know, starting with the weather, the late spring, the wet everything, the late fall, the beets that are frozen in the ground. You just name it. There's just all kinds of those kind of challenges. And then you've got the trade war on top of that that's sort of disrupted markets in a real dramatic way. And you've got the EPA and what they're doing to undermine corn ethanol, and that hurts markets. So, yeah, a lot of challenges. Tough year.
Yeah, speaking of, we got word yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stepped up to the microphone after getting out of a meeting with Robert Lighthizer and said, I guess this is big news in rural America, but I guess you kind of expected her to say, well, it looks like USMCA will happen next year.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question. I mean, you look at the calendar, and this has been apparent for some time. There just aren't enough days. Congress has way too much stuff on its plate. They haven't dealt with the budget yet, any of the appropriations. They just passed sort of the second continuing resolution, I think. Yesterday it got signed, which basically kicks the funding can down the road until December. Both houses are going to have to focus on that. And you have to remember that for USMCA, there's an automatic 30-day delay built in, because if the House said they wanted to take it up today, they couldn't. They would simply send a signal to the White House. The White House then would send up the legislative language, and then the 30-day clock kicks in. So, and they haven't gotten to the point where the White House is willing to send the language up, because until they have an agreement with the House Democrats as to changes to USMCA that need to be made, they're not going to send that language up, or it'll simply die. So whenever you get an agreement, it's a minimum 30 days down the road before anything happens, and more likely than that, it's a bit longer, because it takes time to sort of write the language and, you know, fit the calendar, all that kind of stuff.
Whether it's a phase one or a total Chinese trade deal or the USMCA, are you optimistic that all of this will get resolved and be in a good deal for farmers?
Yeah, I'm optimistic on USMCA. I think eventually they will get there. This is not unusual at all. The last four trade agreements all had to go back. Whichever administration, doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican, they've all had to take it back and change some of the language before the Congress would take it up. USMCA is no different. That likely is going to happen. There are changes that need to be made, and I think they will be made, and it'll happen. China, whole different story, Mick. I think this administration has made a decision to decouple from China. And that is going to have long-term ramifications for agriculture. I disagree dramatically with the way they've prosecuted this trade war with China. I don't disagree with the idea that it needed to happen, but it should have happened with our allies instead of us being isolated in the world. And so I don't know what the outcome is here, but I can see China's not going to agree to the fundamental demands that we have made of them, which is to change their economic system and how they do business. That's very fundamental. And if they don't do that, I think this administration has said they're not going to get a deal. And so you've got a stalemate that is going to, I think, last through this administration. And whoever comes next, whether it's a second term of Trump or somebody else, they're going to have to deal with it. And I think agriculture, unfortunately, is left in the lurch, and this will be, we'll pay for this for a long, long, long time, because China's already established new sources. They're opening up new land in Brazil, and Eastern Europe, and you know, many of the markets that we've had are gone. It's a pretty dramatic outcome, but I don't know how else to read this, Mick. I've watched this stuff for a long time, and that is increasingly, I think, a consensus among folks that watch trade out in this city as well.
You were farming when we lost our trade with Russia, and so
exactly. And how many? And we've been paying for it ever since. Yeah. And that was a much, much smaller issue than what this is. I mean, that was a short-term thing, and you know, this is like fundamental disagreement with the whole economic system. And so this is a much more challenging issue to sort out. And it's a tough deal, but I think that's where we're at.
Yeah. All right. Well, apparently President Trump feels the same, because the market facilitation program payments, we had some last year that helped. And before you make a comment on MFP 2.0, I know you're going to kind of take the Harry Truman stance. But on the other hand, farmers do appreciate the cash. I mean, some of these farmers, going to keep them in business, or at least pay off some bills. But thoughts on MFP payments, Roger?
No question. It's needed. It needs to happen. We've been critical about how it's been rolled out. We think it's been unfair. We think it's been heavily, heavily tilted to the South, the southeastern states in particular. And into places of the country where the trade war has done less damage than in our part of the country, up in the northern plains in particular, probably where the trade war has done the most damage to agriculture, and yet our payments relatively are much smaller. We've been critical about the fact that they basically discarded payment limitations and are making payments to millionaire, billionaire farmers, which would not have been permitted had they followed the congressional direction under the Farm Bill. And we've been critical of the money that's going out to companies like JBS. I mean, $90 million going to a company that's foreign-owned and already, I mean, that's supposed to help farmers deal with the consequences of this. But having said that, I mean, while we've been critical about how they rolled it out, it's absolutely needed. Unfortunately, I believe we will have MFP again next year, and that likely will be the end of it. Next year is an election year. I mean, watching these things unfold over many, many, many years, and it's pretty predictable that an election year you can do everything you can to get those payments out. But after that, at some point, Congress is going to step in and say, listen, we can't keep spending this money because our national debt is enormous. It's gone up dramatically in the last number of years. And we need to deal with the consequences of that. And so I think it's going to be very difficult for MFP to happen the year after the election.
All right. Well, all of this has led to challenges, financial and emotional and mental, for mm-hmm. farmers and everybody everywhere, newspaper, radio, television, USDA, state ag department, everybody's been saying farmers need to check on their neighbors and make the phone call. Let's talk about it. Do we have a mental health crisis in rural America, or are we at that level right now?
Yeah, there's certainly heightened concern about it. Zippy Duval, who's the president of American Farm Bureau, and I have gotten together and talked about this a lot, and it's important. All the stresses that we've been talking about, and the fact that net farm income has been on a decline now for 7 years running, And the only reason it's expected to tick up a little bit this year is because of MFP payments. And if they go away, then we're going to see 8, 9, who knows how many years of continued declines. Burdensome stocks hang over the market. And so just lots and lots of stresses out there. If there's good news out there, it is that as a part of the last farm bill, we worked along with a lot of others in agriculture to put a farm and ranch stress assistance network provision into the farm bill. That has been funded in the version of the appropriations bill that has moved through the House so far, fully funded at $10 million. The Senate, in their committee work, has funded it, not quite to that level, but, you know, eventually that'll get compromised. And so I think there's going to be money to do this. We are working, Farmers Union and Farm Bureau, with Michigan State University in doing some training for train the trainers on how you talk to folks who are facing stress. Much of that training is moving in through USDA agencies as well, so that folks there can recognize and appropriately respond. So there's a lot of joint effort, very much on a bipartisan basis, that's being brought to this issue. It's really stressful, and we need to recognize that, and we need to help folks understand how they can help their neighbors who are suicidal, or at least very, very stressed out.
And every farmer's operation is different, unique in some way, and everybody's coping skills are different in unique ways. So it's going to take a lot of customization, so to speak.
Yep, no question about it, Mick. And that's the one thing that is true about this, though, is that almost anybody can make the situation better by just asking questions and listening. You don't have to be a trained psychologist in order to deal with someone who is really stressed out. You need to be a friend, and most folks know how to be a friend. And so, you know, there's a lot of sort of apprehension about, well, do I really want to engage? Might I make it worse? Overwhelmingly, the experts say you're not going to make it worse. If you suspect something, if somebody says something about being suicidal, talk to them about it. You're not going to make it worse. You're very much likely to make it better. So that's a very simple, important message. And, of course, there are more detailed coping skills that can be brought to bear, and that's some of this training that I talked about. But the general public should understand, listen, if your neighbor's going through a really tough time, just talk to them.
Yeah.
You're going to make it better.
And so many of those suicides, family tragedies, happen during the holidays. So want to avoid those things.
Yep.
Somebody told me once that suicide, you know, obviously the long-standing phrase is it's a very selfish thing because you think you're solving your problems, and then you create so much tragedy for so many people. Yeah. But another person said, this is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Exactly. Yeah. That is exactly right. It is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah.
And we need to recognize it that way.
Yeah. All righty. Roger Johnson, President, National Farmers Union. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. And you mentioned Zippy Duvall. His group, American Farm Bureau, says that the average cost for this year's feast is $48.91, 1 cent more than last year's $48.90. You took a little different approach. You said this year the farmer gets 12 cents of every dollar the consumer spends on. That ain't good either.
No, in the number that you gave relative to the Farm Bureau calculation, they do this every year, and I think it's for a family of 10.
Right.
In our calculation, we've done this every year. In fact, we do this every month. We put out the farmer share or the food dollar where we survey food, the grocery stores on certain items of food, and then we get those prices, and then we use the USDA cost of production data and the prices received data by farmers, and then we calculate the farmer share. And then every year prior to Thanksgiving, we do a special Thanksgiving look. So instead of using sort of, you know, our common basket of foods, we pick Thanksgiving specials like turkey and cranberries and pumpkin pie and stuffing and, you know, all that kind of the traditional fixes. For all of food across the country, the farmer share is like just under 15 cents. But for Thanksgiving, the farmer share is even smaller. And if you think about it, it's probably because it's pretty heavily weighted by turkey. And turkey is one of those foodstuffs that the farmer share is extraordinarily small. The farmer gets like 6 cents a pound for the work that they do in raising that bird. And the retail price of that on a per pound basis varies from, you know, maybe if you get them on sale, they're about a buck to about a buck and a half or something like that. In this case, we surveyed in 11-pound butterball turkey retails for $16.39 out here. The farmer gets 69 cents out of that. If you look at, the numbers change dramatically depending on what you're looking at. There's another 6 cent one based on cranberries, which is surprising because there's not much processing that goes into a bag of cranberries. 12-ounce bag of cranberries retails for $2.99. The farmer gets 19 cents, or about 6 cents a pound. Wow. On that cranberry. So it's, you know, and we, if you go to our website, we've got all these different foodstuffs, dinner rolls and mashed potatoes and stuffing and all those kinds of things, apple pie, and the numbers associated with it there.
All righty. Roger Johnson, President, National Farmers Union. Are you coming to a bunch? This is annual meeting time. Are you speaking at any in the upper Midwest this year?
Yeah, it is annual meeting time. And, you know, everything is happening. I think the week after, well, so like this weekend, it's Minnesota and it's Rocky Mountain, which is Wyoming and Colorado and New Mexico. And then we take a break until after Thanksgiving, and then it's just like six or seven on top of one another. North Dakota, South Dakota are in like the second week of December. Mm-hmm. And the plan is that I'm going to be out there for North Dakota. We'll see how it works. But we've got somebody from NFU is going to be at every one of these state conventions. It's a really, really busy time right now, as you know.
Yeah. Well, and for all of the work that you do and during this busy, hectic holiday season, hope you have a chance to get together with the family. And thanks for the visit. Thank you for the work you do there in Washington, D.C., representing farmers from the Midwest, especially North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota farmers. Roger, thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a great Thanksgiving to you and to all the listeners out there as well.
All righty. Thank you, Roger. We'll talk to you again soon.